danken dir für dein Wort, das Geist und Leben ist. Heute Abend rufen wir zu dir, Herr. Danke für deinen wunderbaren Namen, Herr. Herr, dein Name ist Errettung für uns alle, Herr. Oh, Herr Jesus, offenbare dich weiter als der Geist. Amen. Der Herr ist der Geist. Lob den Herrn.
Ja.
Zumindest die, die diesen Vers nicht auswendig können, dürfen ihn aufschlagen und lassen uns gemeinsam in allen Sprachen voller Glauben lesen.
Ach doch, wir haben schon mal
denn jeder, der den Namen des Herrn anruft, wird gerettet werden. Noch einmal. Denn jeder, der den Namen des Herrn anruft, wird gerettet werden.
Gute Geschichte.
Jeder. Amen. Jeder, der den Namen des Herrn anruft,
everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Herr, ich will gerettet werden.
Lord, I want to be saved.
Amen. Wie erfährst du Errettung?
How can you experience salvation? Open up your heart and open your mouth. Danke.
Aber haben vielleicht noch gar keine Errettung erfahren.
We may have read this verse, but not yet have experienced salvation. You can read such a verse 100 times, but this does not guarantee that you get saved. Or you can read it once, and immediately you experience salvation. Because we believe the word. Now is an opportunity to call on the name of the Lord. Call on his name right now. And I'm sure you need as much translation as I do.
Oh, hey Jesus. Hey Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, hey Jesus. Danke, Herr.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Das ist wunderbar. Das ist eine Erfahrung,
it's wonderful, an experience which we can always make.
Müssen wir.
And which we have to make again and again.
Und ich möchte heute Abend das zeigen, dass es mit dem Wissen um viele Wahrheiten, die wir haben, keine Rettung gibt.
Tonight I would like to show that with all the knowledge we have on the truth, we cannot have salvation, but as soon as we apply the word, then we experience salvation. The Lord is the Spirit in my spirit. What an experience which I always have to apply and then experience. I want to encourage you tonight to use your mouth to speak out these truths. You may not dare to speak in front of such a big crowd to stand up. Still, it doesn't hinder you to open your mouth and maybe just call in a low voice so that you can hear it and your neighbor. And just say, Lord, thank you that you are in my spirit. I thank you that you are dwelling in my spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4,
Vers 13, weil wir denselben Geist des Glaubens haben, wie geschrieben steht. Ich habe geglaubt, darum habe ich geredet. Und es gibt mit Sicherheit einige unter uns, die haben
we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. There are still some who have not yet spoken in faith during the conference. It's not too late. Start right now to speak the word of God. not to tell too many stories around it. Just speak the word. Later on we'll see what impact it has when we speak the word.
Oh Herr, ich habe geglaubt, darum habe ich geredet. So glaube auch ich heute Abend.
I believed and therefore I spoke. So we also believe and therefore speak this evening. The Lord reveals himself again and again as a spirit in a very simple way. And we have heard many examples during the conference and have seen how simple and easy it is to turn to the spirit. Don't be like a person standing at a brook and suffering from thirst. Rather, drink. Open your mouth and drink some fresh water. He is the Spirit, so how do we apply this truth that He is the Spirit? All the riches of Christ are in His Spirit and even in my Spirit. And now I wait till the wind blows on me, since the Spirit blows where He wants. And so I will just wait until I have the impression, well, right now I'm in the Spirit. Now I feel like it. I feel like being in the Spirit. That is one extreme. Another extreme is that I say, well, Lord, you're the Spirit and you have revealed so much and now it's up to me to apply everything, to fulfill everything and to keep everything. And then all of a sudden, Ephesians turns to a book of laws and requirements to your flesh.
So ein Mensch war Paulus in Römer 7.
Paul was such a person in Romans 7. Let's read a few verses. I'm not going to stay too long that chapter because it ends in a miserable way. And he said, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So Paul's delight was in the law of God according to the inward man. So there was joy in him inside about the word. But he notices that there is another law that is fighting, and it's the law of sin in his members. And then there is another law that comes in, and it's the law in my mind. That means all the knowledge I've stored there about the word, and it brings him into captivity, as he says. So let's take a brief look at the prison where Paul stayed at that point. Because I'm sure that we regularly end up find ourselves in the same prison. I know that examples never fit 100%, so we shouldn't use them too much, but Paul felt limited or imprisoned, and I would like to illustrate using this vessel. Some of you may still remember from your chemistry lessons, a broad basis and an opening that is very narrow. And Paul felt like a prisoner because there were conflicting laws he noticed in him. There was the law of sin, the law in his mind. And also some kind of joy in God's law, but he always stayed in this area desiring to do something for God. I am convinced that God's word is true and right, but I cannot make it. And so he says in chapter 7, the good things I do not want to do, I don't do, but I do the evil I do not want to do. And then he was under the law. He imposed on himself all the things he had liked to fulfill by himself. And once in a while, it was like a glimpse outside the opening of the piston of the good things. Ah, there must be something good, but he still stays inside the piston like in a prison. And then he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Here is his flesh, his soul, his fallen soul, and his mind confirms that the word is true and right. The word says, I should go to the meeting. I should be on time. That is what my mind tells me. I've learned that. My mind said that I should read the word every day, and I try to do it, but I fail. Because I find myself in prison. That's like an attempt to climb to the top and to fall down each time. Because the attempt is made in his own strength, and because there is a law. I see a law in my members which makes me a prisoner, and I'm forced to sin again and again, to fail again and again. And his conclusion is in verse 24, O wretched man that I am. Ask yourselves, even after hearing such a wonderful word, how quickly is there such a conclusion in us? O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? He calls his flesh the body of death. My dislike to open the word, my tiredness, to decide, well, I'm not going to the meeting, or my attempt by all means and our own strengths to put into practice what the saints have told me, and leads me again and again into the realm of the flesh. Including God's word that I hear, I judge it, I evaluate it according to good and bad. Well, the word was good, then I look at my own life and I realize, well, it doesn't work, although I'm trying my best. So what happens is that we fall into something that is called religion. Religion means being careful in fulfilling precepts. Any questions? How often do I find myself trying conscientiously to practice everything that Stefan has shared this morning? Then I'm well in this realm. But I don't want to stay here in the flesh, or even in the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5, we read about the works of the flesh, I do not want it, but I am still preoccupied by these things. Idolatry, strifes, jealousy, that happens quickly. Discord, disagreement among brothers, with your wife and children, arguments. So I'm wandering around down here at the bottom of the piston. Sometimes I try to climb up and to look outside the edge of the piston to smell a bit of freedom. But it doesn't work because I have not yet discovered another law. This law, we find it in Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation. But before, Paul said in 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So he realized that fortunately I have the Lord. And then he continues, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Who does not know this verse, who has not yet not read this verse dozens or hundreds of times, this verse should be taken by us, by faith. Say amen. Speak this word to yourself by faith. And speak it to the Lord. I thank you. The law of the Spirit of life has made me free. And that brings us into a different realm, and that is the realm of the Spirit. So we don't need to build a ramp in our soul that can help us climb into the Spirit after a while, because we will slide down on the other side. How often during a conference I may think, well, I'm waiting to get a special feeling and that will bring me into the Spirit. No, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free. I cannot believe it. I cannot imagine it. But imagination is part of my soul. It's also somehow difficult to explain because nowhere on earth you can find any place where two different laws, opposite laws, are effective at the same time. Paul just said, has made me free, and I can say the same. Lord, I thank you because the law of the Spirit of life has made me free. I don't need to wait till it makes me free. It has already made me free. And I'm free from all attempts to please the Lord. Also free from sin. From the law of sin and death, from the obligation, the need to sin. It's not about keeping the law of the Spirit of life. It's about realizing that it has already made me free. As soon as I tell the Lord by faith, I accept this, I take it, I apply it for myself. Amen, Lord, it has made me free. Lord, I decide, I take a decision for the Spirit, and I thank you, Lord, I have been made free. And all of a sudden, I'm no longer focused on behavior because a behavior is situated here. Do you behave properly in a meeting? What do others expect from you? What do the brothers expect from you in a meeting? It's not about a behavior, but it's about turning to the Spirit. Turn to your spirit where you have all the riches of Christ. Here is Christ, all the riches of Christ. It's not by catching a glimpse of the narrow area on top. No, the taste of liberty, I cannot describe it with words. You have to try out for yourself. And I assure you, it's a new realm, completely different from what I can conceive, what did not come up in any man's heart, no matter how intelligent you may be. But this area of the Spirit, you cannot explain, you can only experience it. And it's my experience when I'm here in the realm of the Spirit. Then I realize that all the religious pressure I was under a minute ago is gone. I'm no longer constrained trying not to be angry with my brother. We have served a lot together, and very often there have been situations where I thought, my goodness. I think it's the same on your side, but what am I doing in this case? I'd rather swallow it down, rather not mention anything. Again, I'm back in this area. I can rather say, Lord, I praise you, there is freedom in my spirit. I know I'm also free from my opinion concerning this. I have been made free, and that changes my contact with him. It's in freedom. It's the same in the church life. There are certain things that bother me, but what shall I do? Let me pick the example of the brother. The hymn I've called was not sung, and he has called it for the second time. What now?
In Geist,
my experience is, in my spirit, I am free from any uncomfortable or angry feeling. I do not need to insist on what I wanted. I'm not resentful, but when I start to argue, this is another area that belongs in here, then I'm on the wrong track again, a way that will bring me to failure. Tell the Lord rather, Lord, I praise you that you have set me free. Do not focus on an argument, but focus on the Spirit. Lord, where are you now? I do not want to miss you. Looking at our own experience, very often we don't even notice that we are in here, because everything sounds good and it's all about the Lord and the Word. But that is what Paul has shown exactly, that he was captive. He was captive in his soul. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to discover this even more. I've discovered it, but next week I want to discover it again, and even tonight I want to discover it again, where the Lord is, where His Spirit is, there is liberty. Liberty for the Spirit. Don't misunderstand, like, now I can do whatever I choose. Freedom for anything. So when I live in spirit, I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. That means sin has no opportunity to bother me. Even my resentment has no foundation. When did the Spirit come? It was on the day of Pentecost. At that time, the Jews, they were under many laws and regulations. That was the religious group with the maximum, most laws and regulations. And then the Spirit came, and you will be my witnesses. The disciples experienced that all of a sudden they were set free for the Lord, set free for the church. So the Spirit was poured out directly for the building up of the church. We want to get into this freedom. Lord, I make myself one with you. I speak it and make it real for myself, and when, as I speak it, I can hear myself, and I can become a hearer of faith. To speak the word aloud in faith, then that's for me to bring me into freedom.
Oh, hey, Jesus. In Römer 8.
Now, Romans 8,
like Paulus in
verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. In chapter 7, he was a debtor to the flesh. But in the freedom of the Spirit, I am no longer a debtor of the flesh. I belong to Christ. I just apply the other law that has set me free. You can apply it right now or in half an hour, as it is in you. The Spirit of freedom is in you. Don't argue like, well, that's not the right moment at present. I do not feel like it. I do not feel as good. Your emotion is here. I'm constrained, restricted, because I don't feel the right way. I may be sad. Or I may be very happy.
Wandel nach dem Geist, den Paulus in Vers 4 ja sagt, dass er sagt, die wir nicht nach dem Fleisch wandeln, sondern nach dem Geist.
Walking according to the Spirit means seeking the Lord in my spirit.
Bin ich doch befreit.
And then I am set free
von meinen Befindlichkeiten.
From all my own feelings.
In deinem Geist ist Freiheit davon. Lass den Herrn plötzlich.
And from my moods, you will feel that you are free from your own way of being. Let the Lord fill you. A certain thing may preoccupy me so much that I even forget to get into the Word. I'm so busy during the day, and then I'm tired, and I have to go to sleep, and then I remember, wow, I didn't even come to the Word today. Such habits or such processes can be interrupted by turning to the Lord. Even though I'm very busy, I turn to you, Lord, right now, and I'm free in my spirit, right in your daily occupation. Too much to do, too many lessons for the young students, and I have to study hard for an exam. I don't see when I can find time to read. But when you find time, even a minute, you can say, Lord, I praise you. Now I come to you and call on your name. Lord, you are right now my salvation. In the last time, I very often called on the Lord, on even when I went to the men's room, a short break, I could say, Lord, I turn to you. You are my salvation. That was a minute of freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is glorious. Just try out. And then you will notice the difference. After you have applied the law to yourself, then you will realize that you are set free. So it's hard to describe how it feels. The Spirit distributes to everyone particularly, but we can all have the experience of freedom. That's glorious. All of a sudden, I'm no longer dependent on things that were so important before. It may be my hobby, my pastime, or dependent on people I may not like so much and who are in the meeting. I'll be free from all this. I come to the meeting. Oh, that person I don't really like, or that sister. Always coughing at the wrong moment. That disturbs me. And that distracts me. Or a person who walks out. Oh, again, the same person. Each meeting, he has to walk out. So what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you're also free of such a freedom from such a thought. Just one thought crops up and you're back here in your prison. Turn quickly. Turn to your spirit, whether you feel good or not. Turn to the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Not from down here just to see a glimpse of light at the horizon, no, but rather knowing, realizing that once I call, I'm out in a minute. I'm in freedom again. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you are in my spirit and I'm free from all these things. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Try out.
Hey, Jesus Christus.
I don't need to live in my flesh any longer. All human beings are captives in here, and unfortunately, including many believers. But we don't need to remain there. We can be free in our spirit. And then, all of a sudden, we experience things like what is described in Romans 11, that the Spirit can even reign over our physical tired bodies. To come to the prayer meeting, well, Lord, I'm tired, but still I turn to you to touch you during the prayer time. The name of Jesus that can break the chains of all the prisoners.
Auch gerade diesen Aspekt des Ausprobierens, des Heraussprechens im Glauben,
and
bewusst auf die Versammlung
want to apply this aspect about speaking the word to the meeting. What is the meeting of the saints? It is a place of freedom.
Hier wirst du zur Freiheit gedrängt.
You are urged here to be free because so much of Christ is being spoken out. And if I'm a hearer of faith, I say, Amen, the word that is being spoken, I believe it, I apply it for myself. Faith is here in my spirit, the spirit of faith.
Wie kommen wir denn in die Versammlung? Wie ist oft unsere Erfahrung?
But what is our experience when we come to the meeting?
Setzen uns hin und schauen mal, was passiert.
We just walk in and sit down, waiting what will happen. And then time passes. Then I just observe who is coming, and I think, oh, again he's late. Brothers and sisters, our chance is that even before I sit down, I can get into this freedom. Call on the name of the Lord. Did you ever do it? Come to the meeting and first of all you call on the Lord. Lord Jesus, I praise you because you are my Savior right now. You are our salvation. And for sure, one or the other would confirm, Amen, yes, that is for me. I apply this, Lord, Amen, you are also my salvation. Speak the word, and it will set you free. When you speak it in faith and apply it to yourself. Not only listening what is being said and to try to understand it in my to understand it with your mind, but how can this fit in with that verse that's not really matching? No, forget about this, but turn to your spirit. Get free from all kind of arguments. When you realize that you are captive in yourself, call on the Lord or take a verse from a hymn and speak it by faith. It may be short, just a line or four lines. What did we sing today? I want to be an overcomer. Say that by faith. I want to be an overcomer. And the Spirit will say, Amen. And He will give you His supply immediately and say, Yes, just remain in my fellowship. And what you will notice is that the meeting will become different. Another experience about speaking in spirit is that you can help others into this freedom because you speak words of faith which can stir up another person. Don't understand me wrongly. If only you bring an experience about how you experienced the Lord last week, it can encourage others to make the same experience. if you speak just the word or read a part of our hymns and you speak it full of faith, that for sure will turn you. His word is spirit and life. That will make you free. When I tell long stories, the others have to concentrate and try to follow and understand. But speak the pure word that will save you, as Paul said in Timothy. It will save you and those who hear you. In every meeting, there are so many saints in need of salvation, even if we are only 15 or 20 as in Basel, but as soon as one speaks the word full of faith, 15 others are refreshed. And there's an opportunity that another one says, Amen, I also turn to my spirit. I also apply the law of the spirit of life. And all of a sudden, the meeting will be full of life, full of the Spirit. And then the Spirit has a free room. If we speak and hear a lot in Spirit, then the Spirit has the freedom also to divide, to give light. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is the last point I would like to bring out. When I notice I'm distracted by thoughts about things that have happened today, but I can turn back immediately. Lord, I still want to listen, speak to my spirit. If the spirit is predominant and in the meeting, the spirit has the freedom also to expose the flesh.
Paulus sagt in Galater 5, Vers 16,
Galatians 5,
die Begierde des Fleisches nicht vollbringen.
Er sagt nicht, 16, says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not trying to suppress the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. That includes the meeting time. I should turn to the Lord again and again. Lord, where are you? Where are you in the brother's testimony? Where are you in this hymn? I want to touch you. And verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. I am no longer a debtor of the flesh. It has been crucified. And then the Spirit has the freedom to also mention or to expose things of the flesh. When you look into 1 Corinthians, Paul is very point blank in 1 Corinthians 1:10. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord, that you shall speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. Right at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, after speaking about God's faithfulness, what we like to repeat, Amen, Lord, you're faithful, but the Spirit wants to move on. The Spirit wants to have the freedom also to expose the flesh and to speak directly about things. But he will do that only when he knows that I will be able, I'm willing to say amen, amen, Lord. Thank you for exposing these things. We know that divisions start in our mind. I have something against you because I may have heard a rumor, something may have happened, and I start to feed my thoughts against you. At first I may think, well, hundreds of kilometers away, I don't see the person very often. And then there's a root of bitterness growing me until this verse is being read. What do I do? I just argue. I start to weaken, to water down the word. Well, I'm not really concerned. But if I allow the Spirit to speak and give the Spirit the freedom to deal with my heart, then the Spirit will be able to say, well, this is flesh. It has been crucified. And I can say, praise the Lord, this thing has been crucified. Or further on, in chapter 10, where he says, do not become idolaters. I may argue, saying, I don't have Buddha at home. I may have something similar as big that I open regularly to sit in front for a long time. The Lord may give me light and tell me that is idolatry. Instead of reading the word, you are busy with these things. You will say, Lord, just a short time, arguing again. I only have to do this and that. Oh, I know. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and I close my laptop and I take the freedom now to read the word. Allow the Lord to speak to you. Give him the opportunity to expose the flesh in you. The work, your work of the flesh is a different one than mine, 30 years of difference in age. Your temptations and lusts are different from mine, but I have the same in my flesh. Nothing good dwells, so let the Lord shine into it. Give the Lord the freedom that belongs to him to shine into this. Now just imagine that we all in our localities allow the Lord to also speak about things he dislikes. By his word, he reveals things that do not correspond to him. He says, that is not like me, that's not suitable with me. Then when you turn to the Spirit, you would say, amen, Lord, I repent. And that brings us right into the experience of Ephesians 5. The Lord has given himself up for this. In Ephesians 5, that the Lord has given himself to sanctify the church, and he can only sanctify his church if we all give the liberty to the Lord to deal with my unholiness. My personal unholiness is a spot on his bride. To sanctify her by cleansing her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing,
Ja, der Herr sieht uns als vollkommene.
But that she should be holy and without blemish. Where the Lord already sees us as a perfect one, but in His love He helps us also to cleanse us from the spots and wrinkles. And we say, well, amen, Lord, I want to contribute to make the church more beautiful, more glorious, and so that you can present her soon to yourself as a glorious bride. He desires to have such a bride. It is not, it doesn't mean a perfect church, but a church made up of members who are exercised to enjoy the freedom of the Spirit again and again. Praise the Lord for our spirit. And in conclusion, I can only say, turn to your spirit. Whether you feel good or bad, just turn to the Lord. Maybe we can sing the hymn, let us have this attitude. Lord, I want to experience this law of the Spirit of life myself and live in it. Praise the Lord.